Father, we've just sung the words together as your church, that you laid down your life so that we could be set free. And Father God, I pray again this morning by the power of your Spirit that you will come and encourage and challenge us again this morning to remember that we're free because of what Jesus done on the cross and to walk out in that freedom. So God, I pray that you come and do this morning that which you can only do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in the build-up to the summer holidays, I would talk to quite a few young people. I'm a youth worker, so I talk to young people occasionally. And there was so much excitement around the 6 weeks holidays. One person in particular was just like, Jen, I cannot wait for the 6 weeks holidays. I can't wait to not get up early to go to school. I can't wait to not have to sit through boring lessons to do homework. I cannot wait for 6 weeks holidays. And I said to him, so you've got 6 weeks. What are you going to do in those 6 weeks? And they sat there and was like, I don't know. So you've got 6 weeks holidays you're excited about and you've got no idea what you're going to do with those 6 weeks, no. Years ago, I worked with a chaplaincy team for a year in a young offenders in Feltham. And I got talking to a guy there and he was just like, Jen, I cannot wait to get out of this place. I cannot wait to not have to sleep in a cell, to not have to eat my food with a whole bunch of people like his school dinners. I can't wait to come and go as I please. And for people to not tell me what to do and where to go and where to be. And I said to him, what is it that you're actually going to do? So you take this away, what are you going to do with your newfound freedom? And he looked at me and he's like, do you know what? I don't even know. But what I do know is I don't want to be in here. In both of those cases, people knew what they were going to be free from, but they didn't know what they were going to do with their new freedom. We're continuing in our series in Galatians, and this morning we're looking at chapter 5, and Paul is talking about what we as Christians are to do with our freedom. We've seen throughout Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, the amazing truth that Jesus loves us and gave himself for us. That the death that he paid, the punishment that he took was what we deserve. And that we're now free to be right with God, to be friends with him, and to enjoy life with God. And it was all grace, an undeserving gift, something that we didn't ask for, something that we couldn't earn, freely given from a God out of love. And Paul's warning throughout the book of Galatians has been, don't take that simple truth and start adding your own stuff to it. Don't add rules and regulations and religious customs. Don't impose that upon other people. Don't let them impose that upon you. And don't impose that upon yourself. And here in chapter 5, Paul continues along those lines. Verses 1 to 12, we're not going to look at this morning, but he reinforces that message again. You can see if you look at verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that who? Christ, Jesus, set us free, not us. We're free from rules and religious customs and practices that make us okay with God. We're free from self-slavery. We're free from relying on ourselves and our own efforts to try and earn the approval of God. It was a free gift that was given to us. It's not about what we do, it's about what Jesus done. So we know what we're free from. We're free from God's punishment. We're free from a life and an eternity without Christ. But actually, do we know what we're free for? Do we know what we're going to do with that freedom that Christ gives us? That's what we're going to look at this morning. And Jess is going to come and read to us Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 to 26.
You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge into sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in the step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying with each other.
So look there in verse 13, Paul kicks off again and he says, you were called to be free. It's like, as followers of Jesus, there is a choice that we have. We can use our freedom to act on our sinful nature. And by that, I think Paul's referring to our natural state apart from God. So every thought and every action that's against God and against what he kind of commands and asks of us. Or Paul says, you can use it to serve one another humbly in love. See, there's a choice in how we relate to one another, isn't there? There's a choice how we relate to one another. Verse 15, Paul says, you can bite and you can devour each other, but guess what? You're going to end up destroying one another. Or we can love. And it's true, isn't it? Like, you can see it in your own life that if someone hurts me, or if they irritate me, or if they offend me, I've got a choice in how I respond to that. I can seek to hurt you back, I can get revenge, and I can make sure that I destroy you. That is an option. But Paul says, no, that's not the way to act. The way to act is serve one another in love. Now, the love isn't some kind of fluffy pink love hearts type love. It's a gritty love where you roll up your sleeves, you get on your knees and you wash each other's feet, where you put yourself beneath another person. It's a love where I do something for you even though there's nothing in it for me. It's a love that gives even though you haven't done anything to earn it. It's a love that lets stuff go even though it deserves to be punished. It's a love of 1 Corinthians 13 that says love is patient, is kind, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not self-seeking. It is a love exactly like the love that Jesus showed for us on the cross. Paul is saying, if you've understood your freedom, if you've understood the cost that was involved to make you free, and the love that was shown on the cross, then you likewise use your freedom to serve one another in love. I was just having a conversation about that exact thing this week, and do you know what? Something within me, it's just like, oh, that's flipping hard. And it goes against everything that our world and our culture tells us that we ought to do. And yet Paul says, serve one another humbly in love. And verse 14, he says, all of the law is summed up in this way, love. And it echoes Jesus' teaching in the New Testament. Matthew 22, a bunch of religious leaders rock up to Jesus and say, out of the whole of the law, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, the goalposts have changed. Neither religion or good deeds or doing the right thing actually count for anything. Galatians 5 verse 6. The one thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. We don't do the right thing. We don't love because we're obeying a command. We love because we're free. So we serve one another in love. So let me ask you this morning, how are you doing with that? When it comes to you serving, when it comes to helping out in a youth club or on camps, or doing your thing that you do on a Sunday morning, maybe sleeping over at the night shelter, when you do that, is your motivation service out of love, or is it thinking that somehow you need to pay God back? We are free to serve one another in love. How are we doing with that in relation to the person next to us? How are we doing with that in relation to our colleagues at work and our neighbours at home and the person who's actually really hurt you? We're free to serve one another in love. So then Paul goes and he turns his attention actually onto our sinful nature. And thankfully, he helpfully explains what it is. There's no mystery. Verse 19, he says it's obvious. It's obvious what our sinful nature is. It's obvious that our kind of personal, innate thing, what we want to do, he says it's obvious. And he lists it in verses 19 to 21. And look at it. Man, it is an ugly list. I'm going to read it to us in the Message, either translation or paraphrase. And this is what he says. It is obvious what kind of love develops out of trying to get your own way all of the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs of happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to be loved or to love. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable habits. Ugly imitations of community. I could go on. The thing is, this morning, we are free to do those very things and to pursue those very things. And at times, those things that Paul lists there in verses 19 to 21, they almost look like they promise us life. But actually, every single one of them lead to death. They look like they'll satisfy, but they'll just leave us wanting more. They look like freedom, but they'll end up enslaving us. Verse 21, it leads to destruction. Freedom with God is the ability to enjoy the best. And the best is God. Everything else, those things listed there, are just fake freedom. And you know what? If you are a follower of Jesus, if you trust him, we're no longer at the mercy of those things. We're no longer at the mercy of our sinful nature. Verse 17 says, the Holy Spirit is in you and is fighting against your sinful nature. See, where the Spirit is taking you, the Spirit of God is leading you to life, our sinful nature is pulling us in completely the opposite direction to death. There's a conflict that is going on. And Paul says in verse 17, you're not free to do whatever you want. We can now stand and fight. We can fight against that sinful nature. See, the fight that's going on is more than behavior modification. It's more than me changing the way that I act. See, we can try harder and we can seek to sort ourselves out, but we'll fail actually because of the state of our hearts. Or we can tell ourselves, if I do these things, then I'm sorted, I'm a good Christian. Heard this line, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, he came to make dead people alive. So it's not actually about our goodness, it's not actually about what we do to be good enough. There's a fight that is going on. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The law, religion, deals with the outward stuff. what I say and what I do. But actually the spirit deals with what's going on in the heart, what leads to those actions in the first place. When we're doing something from that ugly list, ultimately it's because we're ugly people. That is what the gospel is about, that there's nothing about us that is worthy of being loved, is worthy of Jesus laying down his life for. We are ugly people, that's why we needed a saviour to come and step in. The Spirit is pointing at our hearts and where we refuse to trust God, where we refuse to believe in God, where we refuse to walk in the freedom that God has provided. See, the more we try to change our lives to be good people, to not do these things without having our hearts transformed, that leads us into slavery, the complete opposite of freedom. We've got to fight to decide whether we please ourselves or whether we please God. It's like any boxing match. I don't know if you're into your boxing. I love a bit of boxing. Some people think it's violent. And actually, someone told me this week, sinful. I'm happy to have that debate at another time. But there's times in a boxing ring, no matter how good you are, no matter how much you've mastered your sport, where you might fail. You might slip up and you might get knocked down. But do you know what? When you're down on the canvas, you can still get back up again. And that's what it's like with us. We might fail on these things. We might feel like we've been knocked down, but God's Spirit is saying grace gets you back up again. You are forgiven. There's always a second chance with God. Grace says, let's go again. Round two. And in boxing, there's no room for compromise or for half-heartedness. If you go out into the ring kind of like, oh, I don't know if I fancy this or not, you're going to get floored. And actually, for us, there's no room for half-heartedness. Verse 24 says, I've been crucified with Christ. My old self has died with Christ and we rise to a new life. We avoid temptations at all costs. We say no whenever we're presented with the opportunity to do stuff against God's plan and God's will for our lives. And you know what? Like any fight, you need a plan and you need people. A boxer goes into a ring with people in his corner and with a plan of action. And so for us, in our fight against our sinful nature, who are our people cheering us on in our corner and what is our plan? Verse 16. How do we stand and fight? We walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. See, we fight because of the Holy Spirit at work within us. The Spirit has opened our eyes to see the mess of our sin and the beauty of Jesus and of forgiveness within him. And it's our job to walk in line with that. That's part of us fighting. And you know what? There might be times when we doubt our freedom, that we hear these words that you are free this morning, and we might doubt it and think, do you know what? I just don't feel free. I don't feel free from my sinful nature. The devil would love you to think that you're not free. But Paul's whole thing is no, don't believe that. Stand firm. Don't get enslaved again. Live in that freedom. Believe the gospel in that moment. And so as we walk by the Spirit, not only are we able to stand firm and fight, but we're free to flourish, to turn into something that isn't ugly, but actually something that's quite beautiful. And the Spirit within us isn't some mystical thing. It's not something that we can never fully work out. It produces something beautiful. Verse 22 gives a list of attributes. Where is it? Let's have a butcher's. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the character of Jesus right there. We use our freedom to flourish in that exact way. It's not the fruit of trying harder. It's not the fruit of being a good Christian. It's not the fruit of religious practices, which Paul keeps calling the Galatian church back to. It's God's fruit. And do you know what? Looking at that list, Woo! There's no way I can obtain that. There's no way that I can be like that by myself. If you've hung around me for long enough, I think you'll know that. There's a guy called John Stott. He's a geezer who writes like loads of books about the Bible and faith and God. And I read this, what he said about the whole thing is quite cool. He says, "It's no good giving me a play like Hamlet or King Lear and telling me to write a play like that. Shakespeare could do it, but I can't. And it's no good showing me a life like the life of Jesus and telling me to live a life like that. Jesus could do it, but I can't. But if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, then I could write plays like his. And if the spirit of Jesus could come and live in me, then I could live a life like this." We aren't the agents of our own change. We can't make these characteristics grow in our life any more than we can make an apple tree grow apples. And look, in Galatians 5, Paul's not listing a whole new list of do's and don'ts. He's not saying religion's gone, but you need to do this and you need to do that. What he's saying is, actually, if you're living a life that is free, then you're not going to do those things. And if you're living a life that is free, you're going to flourish in these ways because it ain't about you, it's about Jesus. We are free to flourish. And look, the fruit of the Spirit, it's not some kind of pick and mix fruit salad. I think kind of going back to when I was at Sunday school, we would often get, you know, this ain't a criticism because it helped me like remember the list that is there, but you know, you'd write kindness on a banana and you would write goodness on grapes. And you'd sit and say, actually, what fruit would I like more in my life? I'd like more grapes. I want to be good. I've got kindness sorted. I've got the banana. It's fine. And self-control, the strawberry, I'm not really interested in. Paul's not saying, hey, take what you want. Tick off what you're good at. Don't worry about the rest. Maybe work on some. It's the fruit of the Spirit. They're all connected. Can you see that actually, if I'm more loving, then I'm going to be more kind. If I'm more self-controlled, then I'm going to be more patient. This is a sign of life. The fruit of the Spirit is a sign of life. And verse 23, against such things, there is no law. You don't need rules and religion to show you that the fruit of the Spirit is a good thing. The Spirit creates a life that no law can express because it's a matter of the heart. So we can use our freedom to flourish. We've already seen verse 24 that we've crucified our sinful nature, and we do that by fixing our eyes on Jesus and saying no to the passions and desires that are within us. So how do we do that? How do we live free lives? How are we fruitful? How do we flourish? How do we stand firm and fight when the battle is raging? How do we serve one another in love when actually maybe we don't want to? How do we stop ourselves from slipping into religion and trying to find our own solution to these things? It says it in the text, three things. We walk by the Spirit, verse 16. We're led by the Spirit, verse 18. And we keep in step with the Spirit, verse 25. A couple of years ago, I went on a little walking trip. As a girl from the city, I only ever saw walking really as being getting from A to B. I was a bit perplexed that people done it as a leisure activity. And we went for a walk, me and two friends. And I just kind of thought that when you're walking up a hill or a mountain or whatever you want to call it, like, first of all, I don't get why you walk up. That's a bit lost on me. The whole idea of a map and a compass, that again was lost on me. I haven't used a compass since I was 16, I don't think. And even then, I weren't great at that. And so we set off, and it was one of our friends' responsibility to be on map duty and compass duty. And so their approach was, every now and again, we would stop, we would check the map, we'd look at the compass, see that we're going in the right direction. My approach was, let's just keep going straight. Because it makes sense, right? If you're walking up, you just keep going up. Apparently, it doesn't work like that. And there was one time where me and one of my friends, not the map friend, were walking, and it was really foggy. We didn't have a clue where we was going, but we just kind of wandered on in front of the map reader, the one with a compass who's telling us where's safe and where's not safe. And they just shouted out, "Stop! There's an edge of a cliff right there." Okay, I'm now going to walk back a little bit, and I'm going to walk next to the person with a map and a compass, because I think that's probably safer for everybody. When we walk by the Spirit, when we're led by the Spirit, when we keep in step with the Spirit, we follow, we don't run ahead, we don't do it our own way. The Bible tells us that is slavery. It's nonsense. Why would we try and sort it out ourselves? Why would we try and keep going this direction when actually God and His Word and the Spirit is saying, you go that way? Guess what? There's an edge of a cliff right there and it's going to lead to death. We don't strive. We're free from religion and we're free to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that is us using our freedom to flourish. We rest on the promises of God. We preach the truth of God's word to ourselves. We say no when we're tempted and we say sorry when we sin. If there's something inside of you today that is longing to do good and to please God, and to enjoy God and to pray and to serve and to love. That's the leading of the Spirit. Follow it. And so let's go back to chapter 5 and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Let me ask you this morning, how are you doing with that? And you know, I'm asking you, not for you to compare yourself to the next person or to someone who you see as being uber religious. It's really interesting in verse 26, kind of Paul says, let's not become seated or provoking or envying of each other. It's not about kind of what you've got and what I can be, actually you. You this morning, sat in your chair, how are you doing with that? Is it that we just know that we're free? Or are we walking in that freedom? See, maybe you're sat here and you're thinking, do you know what? I know who I am. I know that I'm free. I know that I'm free to enjoy God, and that's what I'm doing. Do you know what? If that's you, fantastic. Keep on going. But maybe you're struggling to serve one another in love. Paul says, stand firm. We remember the gospel. We remember that we're forgiven by the judge and we're loved by the Father. And that becomes our motivating factor for serving one another in love. And you know what? If you're struggling to fight against that sinful nature, stand firm. Paul says, stand firm. Build up defenses against those things around you. Remember Jesus and what He's done for you. See, as we grow in our view and our understanding of Jesus, actually that whole list of our sinful nature pales into comparison. Because we know that actually Jesus is the one who satisfies, and I want to use my freedom to serve Him and to serve others and to not indulge my sinful nature. Maybe you're feeling like you're not flourishing. You're not a kind of beautiful tree bearing fruit, kind of a bit wrinkled up. You're just trying hard to do those things. You're trying hard to love. You're trying hard to be good. You're trying hard to be kind. Stand firm. We cannot do this alone. It is a work of the Spirit within us that changes us. It's grace. It's what Jesus done on the cross that deals with the problem of our heart. And that is the solution to our sinful nature. That is the reason why we can flourish. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, do you know what? I'm a Christian, but I just don't feel free. I just don't feel free. Stand firm. Paul says, stand firm. The enemy would love you to think that you're not free. But the truth is, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are free. And if we're struggling with these things, we're struggling in our fight, we're struggling against our sinful nature. Let us be praying for one another. Let us not be trying harder. Let us not be falling into the temptation of thinking, if I do stuff, then this will sort it out. It won't. We battle, we fight with the weapons that are not of this world. We pray. Our freedom is because of Jesus. And we're free to serve one another in love. We're free to fight. And we're free to flourish. And we can do that only because of the Spirit at work in our lives. Let's pray. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Maybe you don't know this morning that Jesus died for you because God loves you and God longs to have a friendship with you. God wants you to know that you can be free from a life and an eternity without him. And all we've got to do is come to him. We haven't got to do stuff to make ourselves good enough first. We don't have to go through religious practices or jump through any kind of hoops before we can come. He just says, come to me. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Maybe this morning, if you are struggling, really struggling in that fight against the sinful nature, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will know freedom in your fight, that the Holy Spirit will rise up within you, help you to stand up again and go another round. God, help us. Help us to serve one another humbly in love when actually everything within us and the world around us might be telling us to do the complete opposite. And God, I pray that your Spirit, as it's at work in our lives, will bear fruit, showing the world that we're alive. That we will flourish, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. So help us again this morning, I pray, God. Holy Spirit, come and remind us again that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We're free from stuff and we're free to do stuff. And seal that in our hearts and seal that in our minds this morning, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.